Would you turn in your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Psalms? Psalm 110. You know, there is so much that's packed into this week, and we could go a number of directions with the service this morning. I've chosen to look at one part of the week of Passion that we never consider. And it'll be found in this psalm today, Psalm 110. Scripture says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. The people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head." I want to draw your attention to the last verse this morning. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. This psalm looks forward to the first coming of Christ in Bethlehem. The psalmist is projecting his vision to the first coming of Jesus. And I think his second coming is included in this passage. But I think the basic emphasis is on his first coming. The basic outlook is toward the coming of Christ for the first time. And it pictures a week of passion. And we call it that, the Passion Week. It's the week of suffering for our Lord Jesus Christ. It's pictured as a journey where he is set out to go to Jerusalem to be crucified, buried, and then to rise from the dead. He's going to Jerusalem for the last time. He must have suffered as he realized the events that took place once he got there. I mean, it's one thing to go into a situation not knowing the things that you will have to go through and the things that you will have to suffer. But it's another thing to know all of that and to go on anyway. How he must have suffered as he realized that his days were numbered. Then came the awful time of suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. Can you imagine praying so hard that your perspiration is actually beads of sweat mingled with blood pouring from your brow? Jesus struggled with the cup of suffering and the cup of indignation there in the garden. He suffered so greatly that he said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, not what I want to be done, but you have your way. Let your will be done." And then as he went on to Caiaphas's court where he was tried in a mock trial. And then on to Pilate and then on to Herod and then back to Pilate. And where he received the scourging, the cat of nine. A long whip with nine different prongs on it. And he was struck and scourged 39 times across his back with this whip. Isaiah 52:14 says that he was beaten so much that you really couldn't tell he was a human being. Following that, the cross was placed upon him, and he was to carry his cross up the hill, up to the place of the skull, the place of Golgotha, Calvary. And there was the crucifixion, and there was the shame and the suffering on the cross, the nakedness and the dogs licking his wounds, and the backhanding slaps and the plucking of his beard, the mocking and the making fun of him as king and having this crown of thorns on his head, and all of the other events that went along with the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in this awful time of suffering, we find an unusual statement. And as you read through Psalm 110, you find a very unusual statement. He shall drink of the brook in the way. He shall drink of the brook in the way. The brook symbolizes a refreshing drink of water. That brook is a stream of fresh water from which one need not to fear to drink from. And the psalm is likened to a king going into battle. There is this king leading his forces. The day is hot. The desert sun is scorching. It's arid and dry. And the king comes to this place where there is a refreshing brook, and he says, look, there is a brook in the way. And there the king stops on a hot day and gets refreshment of the brook. Now, what is the brook in the way of Christ? What is this little stream that runs across the week of suffering in the life of Jesus? If you get this picture very carefully, you will find, I believe, a glorious truth. Here is Jesus in his week of suffering. It's no time to laugh. It's a time of darkness. It's a time of gloom. It's a time of suffering, of shame, the suffering of the crown of thorns, the suffering of the agonies of the cross. It truly is a week of passion, yet trickling across that week of passion like a little brook is something that refreshed Jesus. Something delighted Jesus in that week of suffering, and it's called a brook in the way. Like a fresh stream would bring refreshment to a weary traveler, there was something trickling across the path of Jesus in the darkest week of his life, so that it was like a brook in the way. Have you ever been thirsty and been glad for a drink of water? I remember one time we were vacationing and we were in the Black Hills of South Dakota and we were climbing this fire tower. I think some of the kids might have got it to the top, but I didn't make it to the top. I get my knees start shaking, I get up too high. And the higher you got, the windier it was too, so I crawled back down. But you know, we walked until we were tired and then we had to go back again. And you never really plan that in your journey, at least I don't. So we were walking back and we were thirsty. And I remember when we saw the car. We all ran for the car. And literally, there were some of our children hugging and kissing the car. They were so glad to be back. That car was like a brook in the way. They knew there was pop in the cooler. They knew there was something to drink, something that would refresh them from this journey. There's something in the life of Jesus like that. What was this refreshing oasis over which Jesus crossed that gave him refreshment that was like a brook in the way? Well, it might have been the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They served him there. They worshiped him there. They fed him there. He slept there. This was one of the places that Jesus loved to go to for solitude. It was like an oasis to him. Maybe their home was the little refreshing stream of water, this stream that trickled across the path of Jesus. Maybe it was that wonderful time he spent with those three in their home. I don't know. It could be. It could have been other things. Maybe the refreshing brook in the way was the love of Mary Magdalene, of whom he had cast out seven devils. She had been possessed with seven devils. And Jesus came and delivered her from that torment. No doubt she loved Jesus more than most people on the earth at that time. And remember how before he went to the cross, she anointed his feet with this precious perfume. And she washed his feet with her tears and dried those tears with her hair. She had stood by him when all had forsaken him. She stood by the sepulcher when no one else did. She was the first one there in the morning, the day of his resurrection. Was it the love of Mary? Was she the brook in the way? It might be. There are some other things that maybe were the refreshing oasis that crossed the path of our Lord through the week of suffering. Maybe it was the thief on the cross who said to Jesus, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus replied to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Wasn't the reason Jesus was dying for sinners anyway? Maybe as he hung there on a cross and he had that one repenting next to him, maybe he thought to himself, this makes it all worthwhile. This is the reason why I will die. This is the reason why I give my life. This is the reason why I came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. And even now in his death, the thief cries, Lord, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Was this the brook in the way? Maybe it was. Or maybe it was the women who stayed until the end. Peter was out cursing in the garden. Judas had betrayed him with a kiss on his brow. The disciples had forsaken him and fled. But thank God for that small group of women who stayed at the cross, who stayed with Jesus. As he looked down from the cross, he was able to see the women at his feet. They tried to give him something to help his sufferings. What they did give was their loyalty. Was this the brook in the way? I don't know. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us what the brook in the way was. We don't exactly know what it was, but we do know that there was something in the week of suffering that felt to Jesus like a refreshing spring. It was a brook in the way. I don't know what it was this morning. I'll be honest, I don't know. I got some ideas, but I shall not tell you what I think. I just would like to suggest two thoughts in this message to you this morning. The first one is this. Every Christian should be a brook in the way. Every Christian should be a brook in the way. So many times in my life, I have had such brooks. And as I began to meditate on that this week, I was able to go back a long way in my life and see people who had been there for me when I needed them to be there. When I needed somebody to be there, they were there. It was a person, it was a home, it was somebody to me. It was a refreshing brook, and I am grateful to God today for those people and those places. And have you ever been to a place in your life where you were just loaded down? You had heartaches, you had problems. Perhaps somebody even wondered if life was worth living. You wondered if you could make it another day. Then suddenly, in a wonderful way, God sends to you a person who was a brook in the way. Maybe it was a smile. Maybe it was a card. I could list people here today. You've been a brook in the way for me. I'm not going to start naming names because I'm afraid I'd miss somebody. Some of you have been brooks in the way when you don't even know about it. You send us a little card. You give me a pat on the back. You say, I love you, Pastor. All of those words, encouraging words, are like a brook in the way. Don't you think it's a wonderful thing to help the weary traveler, help carry his load with a pat on the back or a smile or I love you or I'm praying for you or can I help you? Every single one of us should be a brook in the way for others. I remember one. I was thinking back when maybe this really started for us. We had a close relationship with another married couple while we were attending North Central Bible College. And it seemed like every time one of us went through something, the other had already done it, had already went through it. And so we were able to be a brook in the way for each other. It was just amazing how that happened. And I thought of even one small detail that is really, really insignificant, but I thought you might enjoy it this morning. Debbie and I had been married a short time, and when we got married, I had one of those Dodge Chargers with the big wheels, Meg wheels on the back. And it was orange. Debbie really never liked the color. It was orange and had black racing stripes on. And everybody looked at this car and they, whoa, what a fast car. Until they looked under the hood and saw I only had a 318 in it. And then they were disappointed with it. So it wasn't that big of the deal, but it really stuck out. I mean, you could not lose your car. When I came out of the store into the parking lot, first thing I would spot is that orange car. Well, that car was dying, and so we went and purchased a new one, and I bought a little car that was a 4-speed stick shift. Debbie had never driven one before, and I had to go to work. So I drove to downtown Minneapolis with this 4-speed while she's watching me and I get out to go to work, and she has to drive for the first time a 4-speed in downtown Minneapolis. Now, you might think that was cruel of me, and it was. I have a hard time believing that I would actually do that to my wife today, but I did do that to her. And our friends bought a 4-speed too, and she had never driven it. And Debbie was able to be a brook in the way for her, teach her how to drive this 4-speed. And that's no easy matter. I remember teaching a girl in high school how to drive a stick shift. She wanted to buy a car. She wanted to buy a stick shift, even though she'd never driven one. She shouldn't have owned one, probably. I was trying to teach her how to drive it. One day she got it, it killed on the railroad tracks. And there was a train coming. And I said, quick, get out and let me drive. So I got it started, pulled off the tracks. But to be a brook in the way for somebody, to help them, to encourage them, is such a tremendous thing. Every church that I've been in, there are people that I could point to who have been a brook in the way for me. A sense of encouragement, a time of refreshment, just to be with them is a brook in the way. You know, and as I thought, you know, everybody's having a difficult time nowadays. There ought to be some brooks for people. There ought to be some people to cheer us on the way. There ought to be some folks who are brooks on the way. You know, everybody is concerned. We hear that word cancer. Everybody's concerned about getting cancer. Everybody's concerned with heart attacks, problems, physical problems. Our world is in turmoil. We're afraid of war. We're afraid of terrorism. Everybody's having a tough time. We're afraid of chemical warfare. Everybody has their share of trials. People's hearts are broken. I just want to encourage us, every single one of us, to be a brook in the way to encourage people in their time of suffering. You know, the reason for the church is to edify one another, to build each other up. Be a brook in the way for somebody. And number two, have a brook in the way. Have a brook in the way. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, you should have some place and somebody that you can go to. I know you have it rough. I know you have troubles and problems and difficulties and heartaches. But have a brook in the way. And you might say, well, Pastor, what is a brook in the way for me? What could be a brook for me? One brook in the way is the church. Every church ought to be a brook in the way. I want Calvary Assembly of God and Wilson to be the kind of church that would be a brook in the way for people who attend. When you walk in the doors of this church, that you would feel refreshed, that this church would be to you a brook in the way. There are people here this morning that we don't even know the burdens that they are carrying. You know, you don't know what it's like to be in somebody else's shoes until you're there. You just really don't. You just don't understand. There could be people here this morning, your hearts are heavy and broken. You are discouraged and you are lonely. And when you come here and when we stand to sing or to hear the scripture, to preach, to fellowship, my prayer is that would be a brook in the way. I want us to be a brook, not a stagnant stream, but a brook. We want to have something you can drink and be refreshed. When you come here, hope that this is a place where you can come and lay your burdens down. You know, just put them aside, not even think about them for a while. But rejoice with God's people and rejoice that we serve a living Savior. There are people here this morning that are sick. And in their time of sickness, they need to hear that there is a bubbling stream across their life to be a brook for them. One of the reasons I put humor in my sermons is I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think if we can laugh once in a while, God is pleased. I don't think it's inappropriate or obnoxious. I think there's going to be laughter in heaven. And I think God's people are pleased when His people with burdens and heartaches, sorrows and loads to carry can have a little laughter and a brook that would carry them beyond the cross. There are folks here this morning who have lost loved ones in recent months. There are people here this morning that are concerned about losing loved ones. They need a brook in the way. You know, I've walked into this pulpit when I've been discouraged. I've come to church when I was discouraged. But as I got in here and I began to sing and worship the Lord, or I began to stand up and preach, I feel refreshed. And I thank God for this church. I'll be honest with you this morning. This is one of the most friendly churches that I know. I've been in visiting a few when we do chalk drawings and stuff. And it's amazing how many people don't even talk to us as the visiting evangelist or whatever. This is one of the most friendly churches I know. And so I thank God for a church like this. I thank God for a place where we can come with our burdens and leave them. You can forget them for a while. You can rejoice for a while. You can praise the Lord for a while. This church can be a brook in the way for you. The book of Psalms has been a brook in the way for me. As I've gone through struggles in my life, I just open the book of Psalms and I read, I devour the book of Psalms. Some of you know that we have some friends that are going through a divorce. And as I was talking to him, he says, I never understood the Psalms like I do now. He just poured his heart out to the Lord as he read the Psalms. God's word can be like a brook in the way to you. Are you here today? You've got burdens, you've got problems, you've got heartaches, you've got sorrows, you've got bereavement. I invite you, first of all, to let the people of this church build you up and encourage you. They'll do it if you give them a chance. Let them do it. And come and drink of the water here. I trust that you would get in the Psalms and that you would read God's word and then find the water of the word to be refreshing to you. I trust that hungry hearts will look forward to coming to church on Sunday and getting in the Word of God during the week and letting it minister to you. There's something else about a brook. A brook is something, obviously, that carries water. It's something to carry water. And Jesus said, I am the living water. Are you thirsty this morning? Are you dry this morning? Are you thirsting for something this morning that you have not found? You are thirsting for Christ, and you do not know it. Have you sought for peace in the world? Listen, you won't find it there. You won't find peace in the world. You are thirsting for Christ. He is the living water. Like he said to the woman at the well, if you come to me and drink of me, you will never thirst again. Jesus wants to be the brook in the way for you. You're here today and you have not found him to be your Savior. You've not asked him to be your Savior and Lord. Please, please understand that he is the brook in your way this morning. You will continue to have problems. You'll continue to have difficulties. Come to him this morning. I'm not promising that all of your difficulties will be gone. Jesus still had to suffer many things, but there was still that brook for him. There was a place of refreshment. There was something that got him through it all. Was able to carry him through the week of passion, was able to carry him through the cross in that time of suffering. He needed a brook from the cross, but for many this morning, the cross will be their brook. The cross will be the brook in the way. Jesus will be your brook in the way. He is a refreshing brook. No one who has ever come to Christ has been disappointed, because Christ has always quenched everybody's thirst. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1 says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And in Revelation 22:17, we find, And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. If you are thirsting for something in life, come to Christ and find him. Find him to be a brook in your way. If you would taste Jesus Christ as your Savior, you would find that he is your brook in the way. He will satisfy you like nothing else can satisfy you. He will be your refreshment in the hour of trial. He is the load carrier in times of a heavy load. He is the burden bearer in times of burdens. He is the comforter in time of sorrow and bereavement. He is the brook in the way. May I say to you this morning, First of all, be a brook in the way. And then secondly, have a brook in the way. Have a brook in the way. Look all around you. Find someone in need. Help somebody today. Though it be a little, a neighborly deed, help somebody today. Help somebody today. Help somebody along life's way. Let sorrow be ended. The friendless befriended. Oh, help somebody today. I've had this message on my mind for a while, waiting for this week to be able to deliver it. Because when we understand that all Jesus went through, there was something that refreshed him. It would be a more powerful truth for us to realize that if something could refresh Jesus in that week of passion, then something can refresh us as well. And we can refresh others no matter what they are going through. Sometimes we come across people and we think their problems are just too much for me. I can't handle their problem. God is not asking you to handle their problem. God is not asking for you to solve their problems. God is simply saying, can you be encouragement? Can you just be a brook in the way for them? Be that little brook that crosses the path of sorrow. Then find in our church your brook in the way. And if you are here today and you are not saved, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Put faith in Jesus. And find him to be the brook in the way. Could I have you bow your heads, close your eyes this morning? Out of curiosity this morning, how many of you are having a struggle? There's a hardship, a trial. Can I see your hand? How many of you? Actually, keep your hands up. Everybody open your eyes. Look around. Most people here this morning need a brook in the way. I pray that this message this morning by itself would be an encouragement to you. But I also know that sometimes we need people. We need the Word to become flesh in order to really help us. People need people. As a little boy said, I know God's alive, but I need to see somebody with skin on. Let's be the brook in the way for each other today. And let's just right now pray for each other. Can we do that? Let's just pray for each other. Where you are at, just begin to pray for people here today, that God would bless them, that God would encourage them. In spite of your own suffering, still reach out to be a brook in the way. Jesus was a brook in the way for many, even though he suffered tremendously during that week. And being used by God, in a sense, is its own brook. We get joy and fulfillment by doing what we are supposed to be doing, ministering for Christ. Realize this morning that Jesus said, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And worship the Lord and serve him this morning. Lord, I thank you for those that raised their hands this morning. I thank you for their honesty. Lord, they have needs. I pray that you would be with them. Lord, I pray that you would lead them to the brook. Lord, that you would send somebody their way that would refresh them, that would be a brook to them this morning. And then, Lord, help us to be a brook for others. We might just minister your grace, that you might use us as instruments to minister unto others today. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we sing that song? Bob, what song was Kneel at the Cross on? What page was Kneel at the Cross on? Do you have it there, Josh? 370? Turn to 370. I want you to, you don't really have to do this today, but in your mind, in your spirit, picture yourself coming to the cross. Those of you that raised your hands today, with those needs, bring them to the brook. Bring them to the cross. Leave the care. I know you're going to have to go back out of here. You're still going to have things to deal with. But let this song and let this time be a brook in your way this morning. Could we stand, please? 370, kneel at the cross.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. List to his voice, leave with him your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, there is room for all who would his glory share. Bliss there awaits, harm can ne'er befall those who were anchored there. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, give your idols up, look unto realms above. Turn not away to thy sparkling cup, trust only in his love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross,